Scripture reading is found in 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Amen.
The name of my sermon today is Absent from the Body. And the purpose of my sermon is to explain what is meant by the phrase absent from the body. Many take that verse and conclude, there you have it, the disembodied soul. The disembodied soul that has left the body and descended to heaven. We'll find out, is that what Paul really means by absent from the body? We'll be turning to 14 chapters of the Bible together today, and we'll start with our first one will be Genesis 2. We'll read a verse with which I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, are familiar, Genesis 2:7. First, let us grant others. When a person passes away, there is something that leaves the body. Genesis 2:7 reads, speaking of the creation of man, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And I'm sure you've heard this many times before. Man became a living soul when God put the body and breath together. So let us go to, we'll look at three more verses for the breath. Let's turn to Job 27, verse 3. Job chapter 27, verse 3. It reads in Job chapter 27, verse 3, all the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. If you have the margin in your Bible, there's a note speaking of Spirit. It says, that is the breath which God gave him. Notice two words in that verse being used interchangeably. All the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. Breath and spirit are being used interchangeably in this verse, Job 27, 3. So let's turn to James in the New Testament, chapter 2. We'll read the very last verse of the chapter. It reads, James chapter 2, verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And again, if you had the margin, it says for spirit, breath. It's, again, remember, man became a living soul when God put the body and breath together. And Job said, all the while my breath is in me and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. So he's using breath and spirit interchangeably. And here it says, the body without the spirit is dead. Just the opposite of when God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. The body without the spirit is dead. Let's take a look at one more verse for this, Ecclesiastes 12. Back to the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. That's the last chapter of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7, it reads, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. Remember, God formed man of the dust of the ground. Continuing, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. That's talking about the person's breath of life. So again, there is something that leaves the body at the time a person passes away. And that is their breath of life. The body returns to dust. The breath or spirit returns to God who gave it. So now the question is, what about the consciousness? We'll turn to four different places for this one. We're in the obvious book for this one. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes 9. Ecclesiastes 9, starting with verse 5. It reads, "For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. So the dead know not anything. The memory of them is forgotten. Verse 6, also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more portion forever in anything that is done under the sun." I'll get back to what verse 6 says about their hatred, their envy, and their love. It says in verse 10, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." That means where you go. So when a person passes away, they go into the grave. The breath leaves the body returns to dust, the person goes into the grave. And in the grave, there is no knowledge. There's no wisdom. Going back to verse 6 for a moment, the wise man says, "Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished." Solomon has it all broken down. Love, hatred, envy, you could refer to these things as a person's thoughts. Let's turn to Psalm 146. A verse some of you might be able to quote from memory. I can, but I want some people to see this in the Bible. Psalm 146, verse 4. David says to us in Psalm 146, verse 4, "His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, in that very day his thoughts perish." So the Bible is crystal clear. When a person's passed away, their thoughts have perished. We'll find out later what happens to them in the end. But their thoughts have perished. All that has returned to God is the breath of life. We'll turn to two more places for this. Let's turn to Psalm 13. I want us to see what death also is called. Psalm 13. Verse 3. Psalm 13, verse 3. David says here, "Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death." So right there, death is called a sleep. That one verse right there, Psalm 13:3, gives you that definition. Death is sleep. And we all know, when you're asleep, you're unconscious. It's an unconscious state. The Bible has already made it clear in Ecclesiastes 9 and Psalm 146, the thoughts perish. So naturally, death is a sleep, and it's an unconscious state. We'll turn now to John 11. We'll hear Jesus' own words to the New Testament. John 11. By looking up these verses, friends, we're laying a foundation, preparing us to understand what does it mean to be absent from the body. John 11, and we'll start with verse 11. John chapter 11, starting with verse 11. It's our last place for the state of the dead. It says, "These things said he," meaning Jesus, "and after that he saith unto them," his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. His disciples thought by getting some sleep, he was receiving the medicinal value of sleep. Verse 13, howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. So even Jesus himself testifies that death is an unconscious state. The thoughts have perished. All that has returned to God is the breath of life. So now we need to understand, what does it mean to be absent from the body if it can't refer to a disembodied soul having ascended from to heaven, having left the body and descended to heaven? Before we go back to 2 Corinthians, I'd like to turn to John 21, the last chapter. The Apostle Peter is going to help us to understand what is meant by absent from the body. But before we go to 2 Peter, I want to give you just a little bit of background information about Peter. As mentioned, Peter is going to help us to understand. Verse 18, John 21, verses 18 and 19. This is the first verse, verse 18, is Jesus speaking to Peter. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. Remember, Peter was known for acting on the impulses of the moment. And walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, meaning Jesus, signifying by what death he, Peter, should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. And Peter did. Peter did glorify God. He died a martyr's death. Peter closed his ministry in Rome. There he was crucified upside down. Before that happened, Peter knew that his death was coming. Let's turn to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter 1. 2 Peter, chapter 1, starting with verse 14. Peter says, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Remember what showed means in the Bible, or in older English. When we use the word show today, we think of something visual, like, I'll show you my Bible. We think of something visual. But show also can mean to make something known. Peter's referring to what Jesus told him in John 21, that he was going to die. Verse 15 gives us that explanation. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. So notice Peter said in verse 14, I must put off this my tabernacle. Then he says in verse 15, after my decease. So when Peter says he's going to put off his tabernacle, he means he's going to die. Remember what a tabernacle is. It's a dwelling place or a place you live in. So how do you put off your tabernacle when you die? You're not living anymore. You're not living in your body anymore. So when he says he's putting off his tabernacle, he's talking about his body. He's going to die. And there's something that I always like to remind people of. Who wrote 2 Corinthians? Did you say Paul? You got it. Paul wrote 2 Corinthians. So let's read again what Peter has to say about Paul. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Remember, friends, When you study the writings of the Apostle Paul, it's very important that you slow the train down. If you don't slow the train down, it's very easy to go off the rails. 2 Peter 3:15 and 16. Peter says, "And account that the loving, long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood." That's why it's so important, friends, that we slow the train down when we study the writings of Paul. He speaks of some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest. That word rest, W-R-E-S-T, means twist. Friends, this is happening to this day. People still twist the writings of Paul. People still misconstrue Paul's words. It says again, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Again, friends, that's why it's so crucial that we slow down when we read Paul's writings. So, now we are prepared, I believe, to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll start with verse 1. Paul says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands," that means not made with human hands, "eternal in the heavens." All right, notice so far, Paul talks about having an earthly house or earthly tabernacle. And this earthly house or earthly tabernacle can dissolve. And it gets replaced by an eternal house or tabernacle, one in the heavens, a heavenly tabernacle. Continuing, verse 2. "For in this we groan earnestly," that means sincerely, "desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." Slow down. He says, "For in this we groan." What do we groan in? We groan in our earthly house or our earthly tabernacle, desiring or wanting to be clothed with our heavenly house or our heavenly tabernacle. Verse 3, "If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked." We'll stop there for a minute. So you have three things. Either you're clothed with an earthly house or earthly tabernacle, or you're clothed with a heavenly house or heavenly tabernacle, or you're naked. You're one of three things there. Continuing, verse 4, we'll let Paul explain himself. "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan," talking about the earthly tabernacle, "being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed," in other words, not that we don't want to be clothed. In other words, Paul's saying, "I don't want to be naked. Not that I don't want to be clothed, but clothed upon." In other words, I do want to be clothed. "Why? That mortality might be swallowed up of life." He wants to be clothed with his heavenly tabernacle. Why? That mortality might be swallowed up of life. In other words, he doesn't want to be living this mortal life anymore. When he says tabernacle or house, friends, he's talking about the tabernacle or house of his body. Let's back up to verse 1. And I'll put different words into what Paul's saying. "For we know that if our earthly body of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a body of God, a body not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this earthly body we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our heavenly body. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked." Friends, if you're not clothed with either an earthly body or a heavenly body, what are you? You're deceased. You're dead. Just like Peter said, when you put off your tabernacle, that means you're deceased. And then it says again, verse 4, "For we that are in this tabernacle, earthly body, do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." Verse 6, "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." So notice in verse 6, being at home in the body means to be absent from the Lord. Well, if you're absent from the Lord, that which body are you in? You're in your earthly body. So while you're at home in the body, in the earthly body, you're absent from the Lord. Continuing, verse 8. "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." If you're present with the Lord, you're in your heavenly body. So when he says willing to be absent from the body, what does that mean? Willing to be absent from his earthly body and present with the Lord in your heavenly body. That's what absent from the body means, friends. It does not refer to a disembodied soul having left the body at the time of death and gone up to heaven. It refers again to being absent from your earthly or mortal body and present with the Lord in your heavenly body or your immortal body. That's what it means. And this is, and I hope that every one of us will have this experience. Don't we all want to be absent from these earthly bodies and present in the Lord in our heavenly bodies? I will definitely look forward to not needing my hearing aids anymore. Some of you wear glasses. You won't need them anymore. Let us turn to 1 Thessalonians. Unfortunately, the Apostle Paul died. He was beheaded. So he's deceased. He's the condition that he calls naked in 2 Corinthians 5. But we have the assurance from the Word of God that he will be resurrected when Jesus comes again. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. Paul says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming?" Do you want to be in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming, friends? Again, it's my hope and prayer that every one of us will be in his presence at his coming. Chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Again, friends, it is my hope and prayer that this will be the experience of every one of us. We need to ask ourselves every day, is my character fit to enter heaven? Am I ready for our Lord's coming? Do I desire to be absent from my earthly body and present with the Lord in my heavenly body? Again, I hope and pray that every one of us will have this experience. Being absent from our earthly bodies and present with the Lord in our heavenly bodies. "These be they that have put off the mortal clothing and put on the immortal and have confessed the name of God. Now are they crowned and receive palms." Again, friends, may this be the experience of each one of us here in the Elmira Church. Amen? Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much for another blessed Sabbath day. We thank you that you have brought us each safely here to worship you, and we pray that as we leave this house of worship today, that your Spirit will continue to comfort and teach us, and we pray that that Christ will continue to strengthen us so that we can continue to live the way you want us to live in this life and to be ready for Christ's coming. And we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you so much for your grace. We thank you for Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, that because of him we can have the hope of eternal salvation, the hope of being with you in our eternal bodies. And we thank you so much for the angels ministering to us and protecting us. We thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to comfort and teach us. All these things we ask in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.